Hello, hello. You're listening to a special Sunday edition of Is Good on KillRadio.org. My guest today is the modern indie trip-hop act, Una, myspace.com/UnaMusic, U-N-A Music. We're going to start by listening to a track from their album, One, and then we'll get into some interview and some live stuff. You're in for a good treat. You're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Una. Guys, thanks for coming in.
Hey, John.
Thank you very much for having us.
So let's just start with the usual, going around the room one at a time to see who are you and what do you bring to the project of Una?
I'm Jennifer Cook, and I'm co-producer, vocalist, and den mother for Una.
I'm Richard Larson. I play keyboards once in a while, guitars, and sing, and do funny things with computers.
And I'm Eddie Barajas. I'm the DJ and occasional percussionist, and I don't know, overall class clown, I guess.
You know, one of the discussions that often comes up in electronic-based acts is sort of where does the project end and the band begin? Because you guys are here in a live setting, you know, there's more than one person and a laptop. How much of this is a band and how much of it is sort of, you know, what we'd call a project?
I can separate myself to a certain degree because, I mean, pretty much the core of the production and the songwriting and all that genius comes by way of Jennifer and Richard. I kind of come in more towards the later part, generally towards the end of, you know, when we're coming together with a song, what elements we want to add to it that we feel are missing, what kind of samples we could possibly introduce to the song that might be compatible or, you know, that'll fit the puzzle better. But yeah, I'd say most of the chunk of the work is Jennifer and Richard.
And what is the sort of, for Jennifer, for you, like, where does the song start for you? Does it just start with, like, you know, you get an idea for a lyrical movement, or does it start with a tune in your head and then you add the words to it?
Sometimes it's Richard giving me a piece of literature to read, and we'll go from there. We'll create some kind of soundscape from the inspiration we get from the words that we're reading. But other times I just go to coffee shops, like old school style, and write poems. And when I'm done, I make them into phrasing that can work musically. Sometimes we co-create lyrics together, and then after that we usually get the melody. Sometimes it's the other way around. Sometimes it's melody, bass line, music first, and then the lyrics come later. So there's no set way. We just go whichever way the song flows.
It's interesting that you don't sit down to write songs, but you write poetry and then you evolve them into songs. That must be an interesting process. Have you ever sort of sat down and tried to write a song and you find that interferes in your ability to get the words out the way you'd want it to?
No, sometimes it's just an hour or two at the piano. You come up with something you have never heard before, and then you think, oh, well, this is something that's worthy of adding lyrics to. Let's do it. And so we'll collaborate on that a lot. We'll add lyrics to it. We'll, you know, mess around with the rhythms and just try to get something fresh down. Richard, what do you think?
Well, the one thing I notice is we're always talking about music, and we'll say, like, well, how does that make you feel? And you know, when we're either into trying to get the words to go with the music or vice versa, but they really have to go together. That's the one tricky thing about music. And so we'll say, is that strong enough? Can we say something stronger lyrically or stronger musically? So we're always always talking, a lot of talking, you know, about music.
Was this always meant to be in this sort of new vein, this new genre of music? Or did it start, like a lot of projects start with, you know, like a girl on a guitar and then she discovered electronic music?
Well, actually, I have a little story to tell. I'll just make it short, but I wanted to be a better producer. I wanted to learn. I wanted to be, you know, a computer geek. Really, really bad. So I asked Richard to be my mentor. No, and then
what does the geek fit into that?
And so I asked Richard to be my mentor and he said yes. And then we started creating a track that I had written a long time ago, and I didn't think anything would come of it, but the genius of Richard made it into this awesome song that I think we're going to be playing live today. Yeah, it's called Hate. And then the rest is history. We started recording after that, and we thought, oh, this is a project. We should just keep going with it.
Yeah, I heard this really scratchy demo that Jennifer put together with the co-writer of that song, Hate. And I was so amazed by the meaning, the depth of the song, that I said, you know, you got to come back, and we have to do this. But I think a year and a half went by before we got around to that, because I had worked on the production for Jennifer and Eddie's previous band, which we should bring into the picture, is a fantastic LA bass band called Elephonic.
Fronted by Anne Montone.
With Anne Montone, and Eddie on turntables, and Jennifer was the keyboard player. So I had no idea that Jennifer could sing. And I heard this demo, you know, sitting in a car listening to a cassette. I'm going, oh, yeah, we got to do this song. So a year and a half passes by, and then so I get the song set up so we can add Jennifer's vocal on it. And I said, okay, go. You know, I'm recording. And she starts singing, and I swear within about 10 seconds I jumped up from my chair, and I went into the next room, and I had to look and go, is that really her singing?
So nice of Richard, because I honestly wanted to get someone else to sing that song. He wouldn't let me.
I'm so glad she did it.
What was that process like for you, Jennifer? I mean, going from being the keyboard player in a band to now being the front person, as it were. Did you just open up your throat and your voice came out and it was just the way it was meant to be?
The shower was my audience. And then it was like, I don't know, I was really stage fright because I was used to having a mechanism in front of me, a keyboard apparatus. And I was like, oh, I can hide behind this. And
behind it all the time.
Eddie would always remind me to smile, and I would have little frog stickers on my keyboard so that I would remember to smile, you know. And I was a gum chewer, and, you know, I had to get out of that awkwardness. And, you know, I went to acupuncture and had to figure out a way to not have stage fright. And that took a little bit. But once I got over it, it was like, bring it on. Give me another show. I'm ready.
Nice. Well, on that note, why don't we jump into a live song if you guys are ready?
Yeah, we're going to start with Angels at My Door.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Una. Guys, whenever you're ready.
Statement of facts, I'd say. And you certainly can't feel that this is very damaging publicity, ma'am.
You got around it very nicely, Larry.
Well, the police have cooperated, too, not revealing anything to the press except what's printed right here.
I still have the sinking feeling that something's bad about Larry.
There's a finger on the dial, the lucky wheel goes around. A little joker knows we can't escape. The same time every year, the fun fair's back in town. Wonders in the air like ticker tape. Another bet. The joker laughs as the stakes get higher. The gambler and the clown, without a safety net, balancing unsteady on a wire. 58, 56. Six to three, 62, 61, 6 day, 59, 58, angels at my gate.
Wow, amazing start to the show. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Una. That was fantastic. It was one of those things where you kind of forget that it's a live performance going on in this little room and you think you're listening to a CD. Those are always the best ones.
Thanks, Don.
And it's also especially cool when you get images in your head of, you know, like walking down a city street in slow motion with an overcoat and a shotgun under your arm. And,
wonderful. Glad to bring that to you. Mind.
There was this kind of cool trip hop movement, I think, in like the mid late 90s, and then it kind of went into obscurity for a little bit.
Yep.
And now, normally, when you have female vocalists and electronic music, what people are used to hearing anyway is sort of club trance, sometimes hip hop,
yeah, like electro and such like that.
Yeah, electro is big right now. So you're almost, you know, drawing upon, in electronic terms, a classic influence.
That's definitely true. But at the same time, if we came out with just the same things, then people would be like, oh, I heard that before, or they wouldn't respond to it like they have. I think part of the thing that we're doing is we're bringing in lots of different influences and ideas. Some of it's conscious, like there's one song where we combine like some of the musicality of Miles Davis in terms of the chords he uses, and then vocal harmonies we went back to the Everly Brothers, and then in the middle is this 18th century guitar solo, actually a piece of classical music is right in the middle of this song, and so sometimes we just follow the music wherever it goes. It can start out one place and end up someplace totally different, so we couldn't, you know, we're big fans of all that late 90s Massive Attack, Portishead, and you know, so many others, so much great music. I'm not even sure how many people have heard it, but it's very popular. If one of these bands was playing at the Palladium, it'd be sold out for like 3 nights in a row.
Right.
You know, like, where are these people? Hello, are you out there? And so just being fans and knowing about the history of it did have a big effect, but we had to take it into the future.
Now, there's a certain sly kind of sensual quality to the music. I mean, what are some of the things that, in your mind, Jennifer, come up when you think about the vibe that you're trying to get across with Una?
I'd like our music to ooze sex. Is that right? I'm just totally kidding. Kidding. Actually,
that doesn't sound healthy yet.
This is a sign of Jennifer we've never seen before.
I'm looking out the door at the window at a 76 station in Circle K, and that's what came to mind.
Oh, is it being robbed again? Oh, no, okay.
But Angels at My Door is actually adapted from A Manfred Mann. I just wanted to slip that in there. And so basically what we're always trying to accomplish with every track is something fresh and something creative and out of the box. So whatever we can do to make that happen. At the same time, lyrically, we like there to be a message that comes from somewhere very sincere. So we've got, I had this campaign of anti-love songs for a really long time, but there's a couple love songs that slipped into the album. So, you know, there is love on this, but a lot of it has other messages. I mean, I could go down the list and tell you what they all mean.
Please
don't. But I think it would be great for you guys to listen and for yourself and find out.
Well, in general terms, though, is there a way of songwriting that you particularly enjoy? Like, do you prefer to tell it from the perspective of a character telling a story, or is it in terms of your poetry? Are you using a lot of metaphor or things like that?
The next song you're going to be hearing recording of is Barbara Henry, and that's actually from the point of view of the victim. and they're thanking the hero that saved his life.
It's a song about a real person in L.A. that did this amazing thing. Do you want to tell the story?
Go ahead, Richard. Go ahead.
Well, I had read in the paper about this woman, Barbara Henry, how during the middle of the uprisings in the most recent history of Los Angeles, that in the midst of this thing that was going on and everybody with crowbars and tire irons and, you know, just the mayhem. And then she left her house because she saw this guy get beaten up in the street. This guy got dragged out of his car and this crowd had surrounded him and they were ready to like pummel him to death. And she ran out there and threw herself in between, you know, these bricks and crowbars and stuff, and threw herself over this guy and was able to drag him back into the safety of her house. And it really touched me. So I told Jennifer about it, and that's something that came from, you know, a real person. And we thought we would write this song about her so people didn't forget.
Do you think Los Angeles is a part of the UNO Project? Is a part of your music in some way? I mean, it's obviously urban music, and you guys are in Los Angeles. Do you feel that influences the story in any way?
Well, I like to think that we draw from many different places, but I mean, I can't really necessarily say about one or another versus Los Angeles versus, I think, our sound, just because we span different genres, we kind of have a more worldly approach. I mean, some of our songs have a very kind of tropical kind of island vibe feel, or, you know, something's a little more moody, down-tempo type stuff. But as far as the, like, cityscape and our inspiration, we definitely draw from it. I think also it's more along the lines of also our audience, you know, they come to our shows, too. They definitely shape, like, what it is that we're trying to present to the public as well. But I definitely think that Los Angeles definitely plays a big part in what we do and part of our creative process.
Let's right. listen to another track from the CD. Barbara Henry sounds like a good segue. We'll get right into that now then. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org, and we'll be back in just a few minutes with some more live music and interview from UNO. Stick around.
Thank you.
We're back on Is Good on killradio.org, hanging out with the band Una. And actually, Eddie, I want to ask you about this whole idea of DJing in a band. You know, people have this idea in their head of what a DJ is. You know, he just plays, puts the music in a certain order, plays it at a certain time, takes requests. But you're also DJing as a musical instrument. You're using turntables, using samples and effects as a musical instrument. Tell me about being there live on stage and creating music live as opposed to the kind of track listing that I might do on my radio show.
I talk about after shows and whatnot, people are like, wow, that was really great. You know, I always just kind of joke around and say, I'm just kind of standing back there looking like I'm pushing a lot of buttons and kind of making a lot of movement, waving my hands in the air. But it's interesting coming into this from a DJ standpoint because of what it is that I'm lending to it. I'm rooted in a lot of different styles of music too with DJing. I predominantly DJ house music, but when I was DJing in college, I played a lot of hip hop. So through that, the whole turntablism aspect of it was intriguing to me. So I adopted that into my style. So coming at it from that point of view with the hip hop mindset, it's easy to approach it from just lending accents to the sound or the beat that's already there, complimenting the vocalist playing like in the pocket in absences of sound, where what I like here is that I'm lending an extra texture to it. I'm trying to like layer just different elements that otherwise you really can't do it unless you're the DJ. Mm-hmm. But with other bands and what they actually do in their performances, I couldn't even really tell you. Sometimes I'm watching performances with DJs in bands and I don't even know what they're doing, if they're doing anything. And I like the fact that it's very evident, especially in our live shows, that you see what I'm doing is translating into the sounds that are being presented in the performance. So
it's funny when you see like a live show on TV or something like that, and you'll see some DJ just going crazy on the stage, and all I hear is guitar. And
I'm looking for the cables that are running to the table and see if they're even connected. Because yeah, exactly. I don't even know if they're running a line to them. You know, it's just all show.
No, it's not true.
So what you have on this
role is expanding. I just wanted to put in there that Eddie's role is expanding more and more because we're incorporating some new technology into our live shows. Have to plug M-Audio because we have to thank them for the equipment. But it's going to be really exciting to see the future shows because Eddie's going to be pretty crazy up
there. We're able to expand more sonically in what I'm lending as a DJ. I mean, if you want to look at it, you know, brass tacks, it's just the turntable and the mixer and just lending very simple sounds. But when you can add the possibilities of, you know, effects and reverbs and filters and whatnot, you really kind of stretch the imagination as to what the samples you're trying to present. What, you know, it's just exponentially further. You got so much more to go with.
And you really have an opportunity to be hands-on. Like I see you have here, you're playing the beats off of one track and then you have the vinyl on the other side and you're using that for almost scratching as a percussive instrument.
Exactly. I mean, and for lending to what you said earlier, I mean, this is the only instrument I know how to play, if you will. I don't know how to play any musical instrument, and you know, except for the turntable. And so it's interesting in how I can lend it. You know, also talking about doing occasional percussion, because this really, I mean, I can just take a kick and just lend it to it and just kind of add just percussive elements. Or I could take a shaker in a record and become the shaker and just kind of do, you know, which I do with some of our other songs. So aside from even lending vocal samples or strange sounds, I also will take literally an instrument and literally play it for that second or for that part and try to play it as if I were playing it. So. Mm-hmm.
Cool. And Richard, tell me about the Wurlitzer. I mean, you have this really old classic piece of machinery in here and you're playing it with this really modern music and it all works.
This is really funny. This keyboard, it's, I don't know from what year it is, but it sat in my garage for probably 4 or 5 years until I was looking at all these people and they come in to do shows as bands with these enormous keyboard rigs and they've got, you know, you see this guy behind his head sticking out from behind a pile of keyboards and or laptops these days, and I just decided to do this thing. It's the Wurly. It's this little keyboard on legs. It's got actually it's a real piano. It's got a keyboard action, and if you hit it harder, it kind of barks. It's got all this personality that you don't see in modern stuff. That because it's all like samples of these other instruments. Actually, this keyboard here is the one that they sampled, you know, for various manufacturers. I was a sound developer for a while, and they came by to sample. This is the Wurly, basically, that you hear a lot on recordings. Because
oh, wow.
But it's so much different, as you can tell from the live performance, that you can make it very sweet or it can bark or whatever.
You guys ready to jump into another live song?
Sure.
And then I want to talk to you about sort of gigging out live in Los Angeles and the various adventures that you've had. What are you going to play for us?
How about we do Where Is My Mind? Are you ready for that, Eddie?
Sure.
Okay, it's a Pixies track. Pixies is one of our favorite bands, and so we thought we'd play a song to give tribute to them. Where Is My Mind?
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Una. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Una. Eddie, you know, essentially I was just thinking you know, Jennifer sings and she kind of hands her voice to you and then you play her voice again, also as an instrument and throw
Absolutely.
It at the audience, you know?
Absolutely, yeah.
On that song, it's really interesting to see how the three of you work together instead of, because usually what you have in like a rock band is they're each making a sound and then together it sounds like something. But here you guys are really kind of
drawing off each other.
Jogging, yeah. You know, these sounds back and forth with each other and then putting it out to the audience. Really pretty interesting.
Always fun.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of also like a little allusion to kind of like our jazz, you know, being such fans of jazz, kind of like throwing it around, who does what, and that's
right.
And now you go off, now mm-hmm. you go off, and kind of do your solo mm-hmm. and whatnot. So
that's the fun thing about being on stage too, is that, you know, like, something cool be happening. I'll run over and like see what Eddie's doing, you know.
And, oh, and
like, Richard, get
part.
Back on the piano. I'm like, oh yeah.
That's the best part about being in the middle, is that I can go back and forth and just check it out. I've been told sometimes that, you know, live, I get a little distracted because I'm staring at what they're doing.
Because you're having so much fun watching your bandmates.
So I got to fix that. But still, I don't want to miss anything. It's really cool.
Now, describe for me, if you can, sort of the first time you got up there on stage and said, you know, hello, we're Una. This is what we do. What was that? Was that a nerve-wracking experience?
Coffee house.
A little tiny coffee shop on Ocean Park in Santa Monica.
I didn't invite anyone because I was really, really, really
nervous. Our stage was about 5 feet by 5 feet.
Hey, what were you nervous about specifically? Was it just the technical aspects of it, or was it presenting yourself and not knowing how people were going to take it?
Could things come out of my throat in panic mode? And I have a great acupuncturist who helped me with my heart rhythm, because I really it would go spastic. And so all of a sudden, with what she was teaching me, her name is Shavakar, she would calm me down, and I would be able to control it. And now it's really easy. I have a great voice coach as well, so just good people that I'm working with, and just trying to find a way to make Una the best it can be.
Now you've had a lot more experience now. How long have you guys been playing live together as a group?
Maybe a year
and a half, 2 years.
No, it's been, do you think it's been that long?
A year and a half, maybe.
It seems like only a couple of months, actually.
Well, so at least a year of experience. So have you been able to sort of find that part of yourself that can put you in control and really helps you?
Yeah, there's no more stage fright. It's gone. It's gone completely.
But the control thing is kind of an illusion, because, you know, like clubs in L.A., we've been fortunate to find a few really good clubs with amazing sound guys. And we have our own sound guy, too, that comes along. But it's always like, whenever we're doing a show, it's like, well, how come this never happened before? Like some new twist and turn. We were playing at this one venue. I won't mention its name, but we did a sound check for an hour, and then we got off stage, and then the stage manager got up and completely twisted all the knobs. And we're going, and suddenly we were like in mono on one side of the PA system, and the monitors were – anyway, for those listeners who ever plan on taking their thing live, just get yourself a really good sound guy first. It's like critical.
And email the band to avoid that venue, because we can't say it on the air. Is there a particular kind of venue that really resonates with Una, where you guys feel like you're really – I don't mean a name of a place, but more of a kind of scene where you're really perceived the way you want to be?
Well, if I could say, we're still kind of experimenting with that. We did find, you know, the usual notable really nice clubs in LA. I don't know if we should say, but, you know, the Hotel Cafe, the Temple Bar.
And plus we work with Ken Gores every time. He's our sound person, mixer, and just really helps us out. But at Temple Bar, there's a sound guy there called Swan, who's
Swan.
Just absolutely amazing.
Hello, Swan, if you're out there
Temple
listening.
Temple Bar does always have good sound every time I've been there.
But to lend to what you were saying, talking about looking for that club that will kind of gel with what we're trying to do, and I think Temple Bar is a fantastic example. It's a nice venue. It's also a restaurant, and even their aesthetic is very worldly. They kind of have this flair, Moroccan flair. The food they serve is, you know, from different parts of the world. So I think that's really congruent to like what we present musically too, and also in turn the audience that comes to the Temple Bar too, very open minded, you know, very wide, you know, scope of races and you know, and all makes and models.
Yeah. Coincidentally, we're going to be there April 1st.
That's
no, but
right.
But anyway, the other thing is we're kind of got a surprise in the works where we all these songs that you know obviously they're electronic music, but we want to kind of like I don't know, maybe prove ourselves as musicians to the next level, and we're going to be trying to do this music live in a jazz club downtown in May, and you know, with like stand up bass and trap set. And you know, we're going to try to do that, and so that's another thing out there.
Is this something that you guys like as a project that you see continually evolving and bringing in new instrumentation and new concepts?
Absolutely.
And new kinds of music?
Yes, we're dying for an electric upright bass, and we're looking for a good drummer right now. But we'll let you know what happens in the future. Right now, we're really comfortable with the way it is, and we have a great, I guess, friendship with each other. It's just a great collaboration. And I guess what I wanted to say, because Richard was talking about what's in our future, I wanted to add that we were looking forward to a remix album. We're trying to get everything solidified for that, but that's going to be distributed digitally. And so look for it in iTunes sometime in the few months ahead.
Is that but is that completed? You have the project pretty much ready to go?
It's and still in the works. Yeah. But we're excited about it, so I wanted to mention
that's cool.
It.
Yeah. That's a lot of fun, and it's like especially like as a fan of electronic music, I love the whole remix concept because you get a chance to see what another artist that whose work you may already be familiar with, how they perceive somebody else's song. So I'm always very excited when it's like when a group that I'm into remixes a group I'm into, because then it's like you know, you get it's like they're performing together on stage or something, you know. You can see it through their lens.
That being said, also I think that in time with you know, Una maturing as a production unit, I think that, you know, we would love to interpret and remix, you know, other people's works as well. And I think with all the different bands that we're performing with and meeting new people and meeting new bands and just collaborations and whatnot, I think it'll be really exciting to actually take something that we listen to and see how we can lend that Una vibe to it as well in a remix.
You guys want to listen to another track from the CD?
Sure.
What do you recommend?
Let's do She-Wolf. It's an aria.
This is a song that kind of has an interesting history. It started out, wasn't this the one, what was the blues thing? Or
no, that was Jonah. This was more like Cavalier Rusticano.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's kind of based on the idea and the libretto of a very famous aria. But we did it dub style, of course.
And where can people get this album, by the way?
You can find it on iTunes. You can buy the actual album at Google. Just go to our website, basically, unamusic.net, and you can find the links. UNAMUSIC.net.
Thank you.
The album's also available in Los Angeles at Amoeba Records. So if you know anyone in Hollywood, stop by Amoeba, you can pick it up.
When did you guys release this? It's pretty new, isn't it?
Yeah, August. It was out August.
2007.
So.
A year before that, we released the EP, or The Rain Is Over and Gone, which is also available on Amoeba.
All right, cool. Let's have a listen. This is Una on Is Good on killradio.org, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Red lips, green eyes, black hair, no longer young, still beautiful. A strong way with a man so oh very lovely, but a man who was
And we're back on Is Good on killradio.org, hanging out with Una, listening to the sirens go by here in the Mid-Wilshire district of Los Angeles.
My dog can match the pitch of any siren perfectly.
Really?
Yes.
Well, that's impressive.
Mm-hmm. Guapito.
So what makes for a good live Una show when you get off stage and go, yeah, that's what we really want to do?
Well, you know, on stage, all you hear is the monitors. And you see the people, and, right, and if you see smiles and you know, people really, really absorbed in the music, you're happy. But half the time we're sitting up there and we're having a really hard time sometimes hearing the other person or not hearing enough of them, and there's distractions that go on, you know. I mean, but you know, like we're all really good friends and we're basically happy people, and so we have a few laughs. But a perfect, really good show would be you know, having a big turnout, a lot of people coming out, and there's so much to see in Los Angeles. You know, that's something. But we haven't been playing a lot of shows, so we've been kind of being selective and just playing here, there, and, you know, letting people know either on our MySpace page, which is Una Music, MySpace/Una Music, and we've been getting really good turnouts, and people. I can't think of any, like, one bad comment we got. We've been so fortunate to have really great reviews and happy fans, and you know, people that said they really enjoyed the show.
And the kind of fans who are into this music, and I'm one of them, are really more the head bobbing type than the mosh pit type. So you know, it's a little hard with an electronic act, or look, I would imagine, looking out on stage and really being able to gauge whether or not the audience is getting it, because you can't judge it based on whether or not they're dancing. It's really whether or not they're paying attention, I guess. Tell me about your
Absolutely.
Sort of communication
so
with your
true.
Audience.
When people are talking right next to the stage, that's when it's like, uh-oh, what's going on?
Like they're not even giving you the respect that you're there performing.
Yeah, but that's not always the case. We have a great audience when they come out. They're really respectful, and it's really fun to play to them.
Yeah, it's funny. One of the worst shows I think I've ever sat through, not in terms of our performance, but just the experience, was like a struggling to just communicate with the instrument and enjoying the performances of each other. Half the time I'm staring at Eddie or Jennifer, you know, and just I could be sitting out in the audience. I forget, you know, that I'm playing a keyboard. I'm just going, that is amazing. But anyway, this one show, we got off stage and we're like, oh my gosh, you know, just even talking about it, we were like, how did that ever whatever happen? What was going on, you know? But the funny thing happened about 3 weeks later. There was a review of the show in the Music Connection, which is, by the way, out right now. And if you read this review, it's such an amazing review. It sounds like we should just quit studying music and write.
And you're thinking, were they even at that show? They just listened to the CD.
Oh, it was the most wonderful review I've ever read of any artist in Music Connection, because they can say stuff like, well, you know, if they got their guitars in tune and mm-hmm. you know, if they just did a couple more rehearsals and, you know, this and that. But it was a really, really nice review. So
yeah, the writer was Bernard Bauer. So thank you, Bernard.
Now, what about the recording process versus the live act? A lot of electronic acts, you know, they feel a lot safer in the studio where they can lay down the perfect beat and they sort of create a live act because that's how they get their music out. But you guys clearly have the live act as a part of the project.
Absolutely.
A natural part of what mm-hmm. you do.
You know, we wouldn't have a live act without Eddie. I mean, that goes saying first, but also that Eddie's involved in the recording process and you know, putting in all those bits that, you know, are so, you know, necessary for what we're doing.
And Eddie, how do you feel about, you know, being in the studio and you know, laying down that perfect track as opposed to being up there and having the responsibility of playing live? Do you have a preference for the two scenes?
No, I mean, I like all aspects of the process, but I mean, I'm a lot greener in the production, you know, side of it. But it's just always interesting to see how things come into fruition when you listen to just one element. Oh, we're gonna make a song out of this, and mm-hmm. then somehow you just paint this wonderful picture out of all these other things that you introduce. But I mean, for me, I'm most comfortable behind the decks, Most definitely. I mean, I've been DJing for over a decade.
Every time I call Eddie, he's at a gig. He's at another gig. He's at another gig. Hey, can I see you this weekend? No, I'm in Vegas for a gig. No, I'm in Fresno. No, I'm in San Diego.
Well, I was in Vegas for a bowling tournament, but coincidentally, I landed a gig while I was there. So, but I was there for bowling.
He's a part of a movement that's an awesome thing that's going on right now in LA called HOT, H-A-W-T. And it's just, it's moving. It's moving and it's big. And it's, cool. I love it. So check it out because he's part of it. And it's amazing. It's for house heads, which, you know, we all once were and still are.
Well, actually, a lot of this music grew out of house music.
Well, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, thank you for mentioning how I was going to get to it. Basically, when I'm not with Una and in the world of down-tempo and trip-hop, I love house music. And the reason why I bought my first pair of turntables was because I fell in love with house music and I wanted to command it and DJ it and make people dance and whatnot. So what HOT is, it's basically a collective of DJs and producers, and we basically offer a very, very simple empirical formula where we just bring you a very good time for dancing. It's just an all-night get down.
Which, yeah, I was there Friday. Derek Carter was in from Chicago for the label release.
We just launched our label. I mean, we've been working this project for the last 2 years, hosting an after hours twice a month for the last 2 years, and we did 37 straight events basically without getting broken up. So we've had talent from Nottingham, from Argentina, from all various parts of the world, San Francisco, you know,
so amazing.
New York, just amazing talent that has basically seen what we're doing in Los Angeles for that aspect of the scene, for the underground house music scene. And it's been snowballing. Mikey and Gelly, who are my cohorts in the crew, along with Mike Magana, who is also the fourth member of our crew, basically. Mikey and Gelly just basically have been working in the studio for the last 2 years, just pumping out music and, you know, getting the music out there. And we just launched our first single off our independent label that we've launched, HOT Music. And our special guest was Derek Carter, who I tried to explain to people at work what that meant because I was very excited. And I said, just imagine going to the Vatican to listen to the Pope say mass, because that's pretty much what that was.
The place was packed, and you would not leave dry. Everybody was just drenched in sweat and dancing all night. It was great.
Absolutely.
Speaking of independent labels, how have you guys been releasing your music?
Independently.
Self.
Yeah.
There's really, the music industry is in such an uproar, or whatever, a downroar maybe is probably more like it, that we really didn't bother asking anybody, you know, would you put this out? We kind of knew from the beginning that, you know, we had to put it out there ourselves. And so, you know, this is all a total do-it-yourself, you know, the record that we put out. And by the way, John was kind of asking about the production thing, and if you saw the equipment that this music was recorded on, you'd both be laughing, because you know, we didn't have anything that wasn't really truly an antique from and not like it was a good thing, but that all I'm saying is that if there's anybody out there that wants to do their own music, you know, they should just find whatever tools they have and try to get the best out of them.
We could come up with a new genre of music. It could call it like vintage electronic or something like that. Because it really was old equipment. But I mean, the way that it was finagled by Richard, it was amazing. And he would not trade it for the world. He just works with what he's got. And it just turned out amazing.
Well, we all worked on it, you know, together.
Let's before we run out of time, because I could just hang out and talk to you guys for like hours. It's so much fun. But let's do another song for our listeners.
Live or recording?
Yeah, let's do a live one.
Okay.
What do you guys want to do?
We're gonna do Hate.
All right. Let's get this set up. All right. Whenever you're ready, you're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org. This is Una.
Sometimes they don't. No matter how or where or when man changes life,
we can never be sure just what's going to happen. For instance,
for instance.
My guest is Una. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. That was just incredible. That was just awesome.
Thanks, John.
Yeah, you guys are fantastic and a welcome addition to the Is Good Network for sure. Where are you guys playing next?
April 1st, Temple Bar.
Unless you're going all the way down to San Diego.
Oh, that's right. We have a show before that. We're going to be in San Diego for the San Diego Indie Music Fest.
On the 29th at a very funny named place.
Rubber Rose.
Yes. It's in San Diego. Well, I think, is that a Friday or?
It's a Saturday. It's a Saturday. Yeah, Saturday. So, and it's going to be sunny and beautiful, so come down.
It's also going to be our second appearance at the Rubber Rose in San Diego. So, I mean, we should mention that we're there for the San Diego Indie Music Fest.
Oh, yeah, the Indie Music Fest in San Diego.
And do you guys, you released this album not too long ago. Are you the kind of band that just keeps writing music and can't stop?
We're
writing. Are you already working on the next album?
We're always writing.
If there was, that's another story.
let me just say that when we're rehearsing, Richard will basically come up with something in between songs, and then he kind of will just need a moment so he can remember it, and then
later that'll become a song.
Sometimes. I mean, as far as continually creating, it's.
And I'm going, yeah. Eddie, what was that? What was that thing you just played?
Yeah, constantly.
Sometimes when I'm recording something on Pro Tools at home. And I think it's the next best thing, and I'm ready to go with it. And then I hear it again the next day, and I'm like, nah, scratch that. Let's do something else. But it's always a process. It's always something exciting to see what's next. Sometimes it's just, a line that we came across that we really like, and we'll try to come up with some music to surround it. But it's we're always writing. We're
it'll
ready.
It'll definitely be something we've talked an awful lot about, though.
We're talkers.
All right, guys. Well, thanks so much for coming in. And
thank you for having us.
John, thank you so much for having us down
thanks,
here.
Thanks, John.
Where's the best place for people to go to get the most up-to-date information? Is it the MySpace or the website? Because this is a tricky thing for
both,
bands.
But do MySpace first. Because
and that's Una Music.
To get to, and then unamusic.net.
All right. And let's sign off with one more track from this CD. One, what do you recommend?
Let's do Wordless. Freedom we haven't done Freedom on Fire.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do Freedom that's on Fire.
This will be available for download later this evening from myspace.com/thisisgood. And, of course, check back there for all the past, present, and future interviews to be done on the show. You've been listening to Is Good on killradio.org.
There's no use trying to push people to do what you want them to do.